Praise the Lord. God bless you, everyone, again today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you see the mind, O men, how that we seek to see the will of God in everything in life. Now we pray that you will lead our tongue, our thoughts, our heart, in a direction to understand thy will. We know that there are many people trying to express the will of God. Let us, Lord, examine ourselves and be able to see what is right and what is wrong when we are looking at Scripture and when we are looking at daily life that we are living right now. I pray for this, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless my people who will hear this word. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we have been looking at a scripture or a thought that is written in this Bible. He sent them saviors. And let me see that. Or we talk about saviors. The mainstream of thought in the human mind or in Christian believers' mind is that there is only one savior, and the savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, in a way, that is right. But since God, through creation, and when he created man and put him in the Garden of Eden, and man started failing his purpose and work because he had a will of his own. When we are created in the mind of God, then we are created with an ability to choose. And that way of choosing right or wrong, good or bad, accepting lies or truth, that will determine how that we will end up at the end. And God wants to protect us. He don't want anyone to perish and get lost. He wants everyone to receive eternal life. But since he gave us a free will, then we also have to make a choice. Do we really want eternal life? Or are we just hanging into this life, the material parts of life? We're trying to get the most out of it while we are alive here on earth. And we forget about that there is a life after death. Therefore, many people have just chosen the natural, the earthly thing of earth, because they feel in their lives and in their hearts, in their own hearts, that there is nothing more to seek for than what I can gain from this life. And then they make the wrong choices. And when we're looking at the truth, he sent them saviors. And we mentioned in the Old Testament about many men, and I don't want to repeat them. You can listen to yesterday's message. But here, when God was speaking, and I can read the last part of Nehemiah 9, and I will read verse 30 and 31. Yet many years didst thou bear with them, and testified against them by the Spirit through thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hands of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, in a manifold mercies, thou did not make a fool end of them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. So here we see a part where the people of Israel, they denied the prophets. They denied listening. Well, when the saviors were among them in their midst, the saviors had an impact on the people. So most people, they agreed and changed their lives and started walking with the Lord again. But when the saviors died off, here they slacked their mind again and started walking in a way or to a road of destruction. And I want to read a little part here of another part of prophets. Really, the false prophets. If we read Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1 through 4, I will read there. If there arises or arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he speak to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto those words of that prophet, or unto that dreamer of dreams. For Jehovah your God proveth you, to know whether you love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after Jehovah your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. So here it speaks about if there comes a man or a person then that is prophesying, or he tells a dream, and the prophecy or the dream, they come through. Well, that may be a good thing. But you are not only going to listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer, but you are going to listen to the standard of the person's life. Does that person really live for God? Or is he inviting you to deviate from the straight and narrow road that the Lord has provided through the scriptures? God has a way to show himself and to help people to understand about the truth. So when you hear, remember, there are many people, you can call people con men. They are so, well, it shows or it seems that they always speak the truth. They are salesmen, professionals, and you may sometimes, you have no desire to buy something, but here comes a very slight, slew salesman in, and before you know it, you're sitting here on with a lot of things on your lap that you didn't even know, but the man was convincing you that this is what you need in your daily life. So there are many people like that. And people go to school to learn perfection. And sometimes it is perfection for lying and deviating from the word and the walk with the Lord. Well, let me look here. Let's go to the New Testament. I want to look at Luke chapter 11, verse 46 to 53. Jesus here is now standing among lawyers and scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, and of course, His disciples were there too. But now he is addressing himself with a warning. And he said, verse 46, "Woe unto you lawyers also, for you load men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourself touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." Well, that is a description of a false instrument. Remember, Jesus Christ, he walked in front of the disciples and he did what he told everyone else to do. And he was a pictorial builder who showed the people how this works. But here, when Jesus is mentioning this chapter, he's saying that there are people that are putting burdens upon others, but they exclude themselves from the burdens. They don't need to walk in it. And that is a sign of a bad character. 47. "Woe unto you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers kill them. So you are witnesses and consent unto the works of your fathers, for they kill them, and you build their tombs." Well, remember now, we have a lot of stories, historical, how that the clergy, the Pharisees, the scribes in so-called modern time, they are building upon a rotten organization. You can look at the church systems, how that they were instruments of killing off a lot of people. You have the Catholic Church. Hey, there's almost 1.5 billion members of the Catholic Church today. And most of them, they don't really know what their church, the history of the church, and what the church did to the live gospel of that day. So here, it is really a telling that the stories of the systems, when people cling to them, they become heirs and partakers of the works that the former generations did. Therefore, he says, "You are witnesses and consent unto the works of your fathers, for they kill them, and you build their tombs." Therefore, verse 49, says the wisdom of God, "I will send unto them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation." All right? So here the Lord is telling, he will anoint men. But these men, though they have a live gospel directly from God, they are God's mouthpiece on earth. Actually, they are saviors. Because when God reveals his presence to you, and he tells you to say what he inspires you to see, then you become a mouthpiece of God. Of course, you don't become God. You're not God Almighty. But you are conveying the will of God, which is the Spirit of God. And when that happens, there will be a certain class of people that will listen to you. Some will listen to you, and they will repent. and they will walk with you. They will die with you. Others, they will just be of an earthly mind, carnal, and they will try to protect themselves. And they don't really have a heart and a will to walk with the Lord. Therefore, they will spill blood. They will accuse you. They will go against you. It may start with just an upheated discussion, and then you leave each other. But then they will start to build up a foundation so that they can go after you in a bigger way. When we read the next verse, verse 51, then it says here, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yeah, I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. So that tells us that through all the history of men, even from Abel, because he was killed by his own brother, Cain hated him, and he just did the end of him. He didn't want him to live. And God came down and said, Cain, what have you done? Where is Abel, your brother? And of course, Cain, he was trying to protect himself. There was no willingness or repentance. And that is also a good sign or a bad sign on a false instrument that will go their own way, and they will even kill to protect their thought and life. Then, verse 52. Woe unto your lawyers, for you took away the key of knowledge, and you entered not in yourself, and them that were entering in, you hindered them. So here, you have people that are always trying to take the key of liberty out of your hands. Remember, there are two types of knowledge. It is divine, godly knowledge, and it is fallen, worldly knowledge. All right. So when people are trying to use the knowledge of the world to lead in a spiritual way, then you are causing burdens. You take the key of liberty and the key of real knowledge away. Yeah. And when they do that, they will never enter in to the, they will never enter in to the realm of the spirit that is pleasing to God. They won't have a chance to do that. Doesn't matter how smart they are, they will never be able to. And then they will hinder them that try to hinder and enter in. So people that are willing to walk in the will of God, they are opposed by a certain worldly knowledge and hindered to see the real truth. Well, we know God has a way to show the truth to anyone, because he don't want anyone to perish. He want everyone to be saved. And verse 53, and when he was come out from thence, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press upon him vehemently and provoked him to speak of many things. So that was, you see, that type of a person, an evil prophet, or a man that are only worldly, and have no spiritual drive to walk with the Lord, they will try to research your life. They will go into history and they will try to find a little speck of something that they can build on. And they will build up a castle or a kingdom or a world of thoughts that you will say, there's no way I'm going to go that way because now I've heard the history of this and that. But remember, I spoke to a man on an airplane. I was traveling to Johannesburg one time, and he was a Jew. And I could see on him, look at him, that he was a religious Jew, like a scribe. So I asked him, are you on a mission or are you on your way home? Because there's a lot of Jews living also in Johannesburg in South Africa. And the man said, no, he was on a mission. He was going to teach the Torah. And then I said to him, well, praise the Lord. I am also a minister and I'm preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he looked at me and almost like he shook his head and said, there is no such thing as a gospel and Jesus Christ. He didn't even believe in it at all. He was an Orthodox Jew that was reading the Torah really without understanding the Torah. I am a Gentile. And of course, he has a much better understanding of the Hebrew language. Because when he spoke to me, I said to him, well, I am traveling because the Lord spoke to me. And he was so surprised when he heard that I was testifying that the Lord has spoken to me. He said, how can that be? You are a Gentile and you say God spoken to you. And then he said, I am a Jew. I have studied the Torah all my life. I have gone to universities, all kinds of education. I have a lot of friends, dignitaries, who are also studying the Torah. And never has any of us heard the voice of the Lord. And I was kind of shocked to hear him, the way he expressed himself. And then he also said, and do you know Hebrew? I said, no, sir. I only know hallelujah. I can say Jehovah or Yahweh, but I have no understanding of the Hebrew language. And then he said, and then you think that God can speak to you? And I answered back and I said, sir, when God spoke to me, he spoke in Norwegian. And the Jew was very surprised, almost amazed. But remember, when God changed the language of the earth, of the world, then he put on a switch and at Babylon, the place of confusion, he changed the order of the languages of the world. And of course, God knows every language that there is. But people are so narrow-minded, they think that God only can speak Hebrew. Or if he ever want to express himself, it will be through the Hebrew language. Well, I believe God speaks through the Hebrew language to the ones that work with the Hebrew language. But he will speak Norwegian, Swedish, English, German, French, Italian, Spanish, whatever it is. Or Chinese, for that case. All right. So here we are speaking about a line of thought of people who are really not wanting to express the will of God. God is sending people saviors. But those people that are sent by God will not be heard or understood. And God knew it. Even before he anointed them, he said, remember, no, you will not be heard. They will not listen to you. But tell them the truth that I have told you. And they stayed true to it. There's one last example I will take before I close today. It's from Acts chapter 7, verse 49 to 60. I may not read the whole thing, but you can read it for yourself. Acts chapter 7, verse 49 through 60. And here we have the story of Stephen. Stephen, he became as a mediator between God and the Pharisees, right? God inspires Stephen to speak to the Pharisees. And he says here, the heaven is my throne and the earth the footstool on my feet. What manner of house will you build me, said the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? It is Stephen speaking to the Pharisees. And then he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed them that showed before the coming of the righteous one, of whom you have now become betrayers and murderers. I'll tell you, that statement from Stephen was a hard one. And he threw it right in the face of the dignitaries of that day. You who have received the law as it was ordained by angels, and kept it not. Now, when they heard these things, they were cut to their hearts, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And when they heard that, they cried with a loud voice and stooped their ears, rushed upon him with one accord. There's times where people are with one accord in verse 57. And they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witness laid down their garments at the feet of a young man called Saul. So they stoned Stephen and called upon, when he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said that, he fell asleep. My brothers and sisters, when I take that man, I'm telling you, I say, if you hear a man that are prophesying and he has dreams or visions and he asks you to leave your God, then don't listen to him. And here is the last man, because I feel that we need to be positive in our walk. Stephen, he had the character, the will, and the anointing upon him. That is the true anointing of God. And when Stephen in the 59th verse called upon the Lord and said, Lord, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's what Jesus said on the cross. And that is what Stephen said when he gave up the ghost. Brothers and sisters, be aware. There are prophets. There are messengers. But whom of them are saviors? Well, you are there. You have to make the choice. You are there to walk with the Lord in your mind. God bless you.